nobility in life is knowing the Lord and walking in His way. The most glorious pursuit of mankind is walking in God's image and likeness. It is our utmost desire that you will be richly blessed as you listen to this message from Living Scroll Ministry, aka Eat the Bible Network. For more life-transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
Thank you for the privilege to be in your presence since yesterday evening. And yet we are seeing your presence. You've been talking to us, challenging us, encouraging us, and moving us. As we share together this afternoon again, be there for us. Help us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Permit me, before I start to speak, to appreciate all of you that stood by us during the Young Preachers Conference. We really appreciate you. The next edition will be August next year. We want to thank you. And coincidentally, the man of God is coming, who happens to be one of our speakers. Thank you for coming all the way from Zaria. I'm not even sure we were able to pay your transport, but but the Lord understands. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the school took bulk of the expenses. Took about 300,000 from us. Some of them were transported there and many other things. The Lord understands. We are in the boat together. Amen. I want to thank you. Some of you, brother, some of you are not here. Pastor James and all of you for standing by us during that conference. You know, there will always be conference and programs. And I was just looking at it as I sat down there, that those of us that started this meeting together, many of us are not here. If you were in the first or maiden edition of this conference, can I see your hand? You came for the first edition of this retreat. Can I see your hand? You came for the first edition, you were there. Can I see your hand? In the first edition. So it shows that we are advancing. People are coming here. At least I know some people now that, I mean, one person now who is now an apostle. So our prayer is not that you come for 5 years, 6 years. No. Some other new people will come. You understand? Except the workforce and the team that organized the program, and we are going to pray for them before. There is a conference that we used to hold every two years, for designed for missionaries or for those who are supporters of missions. It's the sixth edition. It's every two years. So if this is the sixth edition, this will be the 10 year or 12 years of that conference. We had the last one in Akure, and that was the first time we moved it. But for strategic reasons, we have to move it back to Kisugwa. But you know, people come from another country too to attend this conference in numbers. And it's designed to steer us up. Because this mission team, if you don't have people to steer you up, you can become mission feed yourself. And people will start laboring on you again to recover you. But such meetings will steer you up into performance. And we have another edition, December 18th to 23rd at Okitukupa. All you need to do is to carry your bag, feeding, accommodation, all the conference material and programs and books. Everything, by the grace of God, supposed to be free, as the Lord provides. So the agony of the nations. And our guest speakers are Bayo and Naomi Famonuri. Those are the people that started Capro. But they are no more in Capro. They have started another. They started a lot of organization. NEMA. Bayo Famonuri started NEMA. He started Association of School Proprietors. He's a pioneer. And he's a core disciple of Maelton and Mike. So we have Richard Usenu. Many of us are. We know Richard Usenu very well. Tokumbo Salami from Kogi State. Tokumbo Salami has been a long time chaplain of Aiba University and the current chairman, national chairman of NEMA. We have Atanda will be in this edition. Then Joseph Oladapo, who is coincidentally our host. Praise the Lord. There is this group in Living School Ministry, Eat the Bible, that visits schools to do outreaches. So almost every two, 3 days I receive their reports on WhatsApp. Of course, I've never commented anyway. But we are praying for you. So they are doing wonder. If you live in Akure and you feel that you can be part of this team, I'm sure announcements will be made before we leave this place. You can see, you must keep yourself busy for the Lord. The uselessness of a man is in his idleness for the Lord. Any opportunity you have, especially ministries that are not too tied to one, to denominational stuff. So please be very, very involved. It is while you are serving that the fire will keep burning. Hallelujah. Also, the greater works too. They used to hold their convention before us. Hallelujah. Amen. By God's grace, even though it's a tight period, but we'll still be there. Amen. It's nice to be in this meeting, but I hope you take reflection. Reflection is what feedback your spirit had on each of the messages. Because if not, your coming will be mechanical. You will just come because you want to satisfy Pastor Dave. I hope you know that this meeting is not me that organized it. Not Pastor Emma. It's organized by Eat the Bible, led by our brother Pastor Dave. So it's intended to bring spiritual revival and awakening in you and to go fortified. So you may have personal questions. I'm sure there will be interactive sessions before we leave. Personal question, or you want personal contact, and no special PA attached to us, you can meet us, hijack us, double cross us, corner us, and no formality. Praise the Lord. Amen. Help me. Amen. This afternoon, I want us to look at a very crucial issue, our walk with God. Issues at stake. I don't intend to finish all the issues. If it's two or three, I can take. I'm okay. We can continue much later. Our walk with God. Issue at stake. And I would like us to read from... Now, you have used this thing to spoil us. So, you have to supply us Exodus chapter 4. Okay, thank you. Exodus chapter 4. You know, Moses. Moses was founded and schooled by the resources of Egypt. They used their resources to sponsor Moses in school. They used their resources to buy poison. So, and Moses graduated, and he was looking like the heir to the throne of Pharaoh. So, the first matter that he will handle, he killed the person. And then they said, heaven will have looked at it and said, this man is dangerous. We need to do a step down voltage inside of this man. This man is so dangerous that he killed the person.
You can know how dangerous the man is. But see, well, when God finished working with him, he became the meekest on the face of the earth. Of course, there are so many reasons to it. Well, won't have time to go into all of those today. But you know, he was. The next day, he went out again. He has just begun a full-time walk. And this is the second day of walking. And then the news is over the land that one man hired squad, a killer squad, has entered the city. So he saw in the press, or he heard in the news, that there's one man hired killer squad that have just entered the city and has killed one man yesterday, killed one of his own. So he has to take the next flight and fly away. So when he flown away, he got to a land of Midian. And God said, for me to bring you down from this altitude, you have to take 40 years of living with sheep and gold and cattle. So for 40 years, he was about 40 when he left. Because he was a prophetic child, he was born towards the time Israel will be, you know, living in Egypt. So, and he was too raw and too high tensioned. So he was sent to the wilderness by God to stay 40 years of learning the life of an animal. And he was moving with animal, and he became the manager of the priest of Midian, you know, arrangement contracts, 40 years you get a wife and I settle you and all those stuff. While he was tending the sheep of his father-in-law, he had an encounter of the burning bush. Chapter 4 now. Oh, sorry, you have not opened it. Okay. So, verse 23. So one day, you know, he has had an encounter. You know, if you are not careful, you will think he had the encounter very close to the land of Egypt. And as God just called him, he just entered Egypt and started doing those things. No, he had the encounter in Midian, not in Egypt. And now there is preparation. And one of the signs that God has called him is to speak to his father-in-law, unlike the other one, Jacob experienced, who didn't want him to go. So, and the father-in-law, who was a priest anyway, agreed. So they were putting themselves together. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. If thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy firstborn. Verse 24. So he was sending. God began to, for days, maybe weeks, God began to deal with Moses on the children of Israel. And it came to pass, by the way in the inn, the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Number one issue that is at stake about God is that he's dangerous. God, can you look at your neighbor and say, God, very dangerous. Forget whether it's New Testament or it's Old Testament. We're going to see some cases in the New Testament. God is ever dangerous. It is Jesus Christ that is the step down transformer. You understand? For we have an advocate with the Father. So he's the one stepping him down. Because God commune God. So God has called this man maybe for weeks, for months, and they have been talking. And then now they stepped all out to leave Midian. I think the journey was the will of God. I think the purpose of God was going to be accomplished. God is a dangerous God. Very dangerous. 40 years Moses has been tending the sheep of his father-in-law and learning leadership experience and quality and patience and meekness and all of those stuff. Yet, there was still hangover. Mama J was speaking about sanctification. That's the process of becoming like Jesus. It is both instantaneous and progressive. And you know that how can somebody go to a school 40 years and still having carry over? So what was the issue? God sought to kill a man he has sent. God is dangerous. He has sent him. And the man didn't argue. He has said his reasons. You know that I'm a stammerer. I am this and that. And God has nullified those points. But now he's ready to go. You know, you don't understand. A man has been 40 years in a land. And God said he should go back to the land where they don't want him. Of course, he assured him that all of them that published the newspaper that blew the news and everyone, and the person that was on tour, everybody had died now. He assured him of that. But now, 40 years. You consider the city where you are living for 40 years. And God said, move. Just like what Pastor Eman said, that God said to a man that is going to live in this city, and the wife said no. And the fiancé said no. Thank God it was his fiancé. Because he has become wife, he go stay there. Oh. He go stay there. Now, see, God is too dangerous. A man called Abraham had sex with his maid. And the maid, God, now God provided the child, though. God made sure they had a child. And then the woman now begin to put pepper in the eye of the maid and told the husband, send this woman away. Then Abraham went to meet God. And God said, obey the voice of your wife. You know, God is very dangerous. Very dangerous. See, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, we abide with thirsty. Now listen, the best way to relate with God is to understand His will per time, and not only understanding it, because in this case Moses knew he has not circumcised his children, and the carryover of Egyptian's life was running in his blood. Yet he was the only man prepared for the task of rescuing the nation of Israel. It was as if he was frustrating God's purpose. God at that generation wanted to deal with a man who does not believe in the circumcision of the Jew. And it was possible Moses had been circumcised before he was picked up. That they made that's why they know, and apart from that, the information circulating around that this one is a Jewish child. So Moses refused, because in Midian they don't circumcise their children, and Moses want to be like them. You know, there are people that are going to make heaven, they want to go to heaven, but they like the lifestyle of this world. They still enjoy the worldliness of this world, the music of this world, the way of speaking of this world, the style of this world, the jest and joke of this world. You even know some of these joker and jester and musician more than the unbeliever themselves, because you have not been weaned from the milk of worldliness. So Moses stayed in the land 40 years, and maybe he stayed the first 10 years not married. And now the child is about 30 years old and yet uncircumcised. And God, look at it, this is taking me for granted. And that's why he was standing with that when we start to pray. That there must be circumcision. God He's dangerous. Once he stays his will and you know it, the next thing is for you to do it. It doesn't take apology from any man. They were going and he hijacked him and wanted to kill him. But you see, thank God for a woman. I like the way she does. She did there. You know, as God wanted to kill him, the wife knew why. And you know, the wife must be a woman that is not less than 40 years. So the wife took and said, "Boy, you want your father to die?" And the boy will say no. And he turned to the other one, "You want your father to die?" And the boy, and the other one said no. "So bring out your thing." And he used stone and cut their foreskin. He will have killed Moses there. Now, can I tell you how passionate God loves Moses? God loves Moses as if there's no option to Moses. I just came from Okituba, and that night we discovered something, myself, my host. We discovered that, you know, some of these scripture, when you read them, we discover that God, I mean, Moses sprinkled the blood of on the elders and the people of Israel, and they brought them before God and they dined with God. I told him, I said, "I'm still coming back to stay here and understand what's happening here." God related with Moses as a man relates with his friends. They talk face to face, not physically face. Because God came down to the level of Moses to relate with Moses. He became the high tension when he came back, so that people who see his face, their own face, they shine as if they see God. And see the destiny of almost 2 million people wanted to be jeopardized. And God cornered him and said, "See, I killed you here. And I know he will have come in form of the angel of the Lord." And he was not joking with that. Very short verse, but powerful. Bible says, and God sought to kill him, but because he knew, the wife knew and has been warning him. Because you look at the statement of the wife, it means that the wife, who was alien to the culture of the Jew, or the Israelite, might have been saying, and they will be saying, "Don't like that culture, Jerry." It is not about liking the culture. It is about God. And after he cut the skin, he threw it to the feet of Moses. And the anger of the Lord went down. In Numbers 23, maybe 23 to 25, chapter 23 to 25, the children of Israel went into war zone because of the advice of Balaam to Balak. So they brought in naked girls. And when this holy nation, because the Bible says, in them there was no sin. "I behold no transgression in Jacob, no sin in Israel." There was no sin in their camp. That's one of the few times in the scripture, in the Old Testament, where in the entire camp of Israel, they were clean. So they introduced girls, Moabitish woman. And you know the history of the Moabites. The sex intercourse between Lot and his daughters. So their promiscuity is the normal of the thing. It's a profession. It's a calling. And he introduced Moabitish women, and they came with their pants and their pointed breasts, and water was coming out from the mouth of people who have not holy people, and they were committing war. and God started killing them. But see, a man, a woman who becomes different, God will not be dangerous to him. That's what happened to that woman. She took a stone and cut the foreskin. And God said, you have married the right woman. And you know, for the case of the Moabites and the children of Israel, they were committing murder. And in one day, God killed 23,000 people. A great loss. 23,000 people, plenty. They died. And the entire camp was smelly. Dead people. But one man was having his own. And Phinehas saw. And Phinehas threw a javelin and entrusted it to the two of them there. And the Bible said the anger of God went down. God is dangerous. Let me continue and share one or two examples more. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, there was an account of one man called Uzzah, who happens to be a generation of Abinadab. He has been used to the ark. Their family sleep with ark, and he's still the driver of God, because the ark is God in the wood. So he's the one cat. The cat is the one of the people driving it. But the instruction of God is clear. You weren't a priest. You are far from touching the ark. And the ark dazzled, and it came to help. God does not want that kind of help. Dangerous God. In Acts chapter 5, and you know what happened to him? He was slain. In Acts chapter 5, people were giving to the church, because the church of that generation, or that early church, want to balance the gap between the wealthy and the poor, so that the wealthy people are selling their properties, and they were disciplining to the poor to increase their financial level, so that they and you know what, brethren, Ananias and Sapphira didn't understand that God was dangerous. They had great possession, and the church will say, ah, these people with your level of wealth, nothing came from them. They will have noticed. And they just want to be part of what they just want to hide there. And they sold their possession and cut it to half. To two. I don't know whether it's half or two. They hid some and brought some. And then you know, the New Testament God became dangerous to them. The issue at stake, number one, God is a dangerous God. And I don't think he has lessened his being dangerous. Number two, God relate with man from the heart, not from the lips, not from the face. God relates with a man from what? From the heart. I said once here that the matter of the heart is the heart of matter. Before God, the heart is louder than the physical. The heart is more pronounced than the physical. What battle happened in the heart? That's why when in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, when he was going to anoint the king, and he saw the firstborn of Jesse, and he was about putting oil on him, and the Bible says that Man look at what? The face. The firigbon. But God looks at the heart. The heart. Your heart. You are not greater than your heart. The way you are, the way your relationship is with God, is a function of your heart. See, the Lord will walk with a man, not by his stature, physical stature, but by his heart. You may be a short man like Paul, but if you have the correct heart, the Lord will go with you in a correct way. If you are freeborn like Goliath, and your heart is shallow before God, then forget it. The heart. And what are the issues of the heart? The matter of your service to God. Is it out of passion for the love for God? Is it out of love for Jesus? One man was tied to a stake. Maybe I mentioned the story here in the time past. And then it was the days of capital punishment, when you tie people to a stake and you bring out gun and you shoot them up. Those criminals. So, but before they do that, I remember in the 80s, I witnessed such in October as a younger boy. And, you know, they used to kill people there because the military back criminals. Capital punishment were ruling that time because of the military rule. They will bring a priest, and the priest will stand before the criminals. They are already tied to stake. And I think it's a very strategic evangelistic process. And then they will preach the gospel. So this day they brought this man, and he preached. And as he preached so passionately, so it wasn't a message from the heart, we touched the heart. So passionless a message. Then the man shouted, the criminal, you know criminal now? He was following the message, what he was saying. But something said, a conviction came in his spirit, as passionate as it was, and said, I have a question. He said, you know the soldiers, they wanted to give him opportunity to ask his question. And he said, I have a question for the priest. And the priest said, what is your question? He said, this thing you have explained, are you sure it's true? Sir, it's in the Bible, it's true. And he's asked, if it is true, how come you spoke about eternity with such a passionless voice? If I had knew this truth, I would have walked on my knees across the length and breadth of Europe on broken glasses to convey this reality, that eternally a man will be living if he has no Jesus in the torment of hell. And that was how he preached back to the priest. And he gave his life to Jesus. And of course he was shot. See, the way you carry the things of God. See, I belong to a denomination, and I told them, I am getting tired of you people. You will see a young man we have put fire on campus. He will get to a denomination setting, and then you will see all his zeal is about position to be a deacon. See, as I am here, no church has ever ordained me. I will not go. If they invite me, I won't go. There's nothing I want to do with ordination. Sorry, Pastor Emma. I went to preach somewhere, and the pastor called me to come and ordain the pastor and the deacon last 2 weeks. But I told them, I said, don't let this thing be your focus. I know of many pastors who will never leave their church on Sunday, and they will boast of it. Every 3 months, you come from Zaria. Because see, this work is not our work. is the work of the master. And the heart to which we carry this work matters a lot. So, how much zeal and passion do you have for the Lord? How could you know the truth of God's word that a soul will die eternally in hell? It means that when we wanted to come here yesterday, one of our brothers from the north lost his grandmother. And he was so cold and so... And I said, why? Why are you so cold? The thing that could bother you is that he died without Jesus. If a believer die, it could be painful. But if he's a believer, it's a plus. If he dies as a believer, it's a plus. Because when you see the beauty of the glory land, you will want to quickly die. I tell you, you will want to quickly die. Because the city, the architect of the city, and the builder and the engineer is God. How come the word of God does not make, and we are just struggling, I want to be a deacon, I want to be a pastor, and that's all we're struggling for. And then you see them, I just see them, I see religion all over the place, written over their faces, struggling to be this, you know, when they become, they will make somebody, I say it's wrong to make somebody at 30 years an elder. It's wrong. How many marriage experience can he, I mean, does he have to handle marriage issue? One of my friends, we were all those days saying we will not take title, you know, on campus and all those stuff. And as at that time he was 29 and they made him an elder. And I saw it. Facebook was not so popular like this that time. And somebody told me, so I called him. I said, I heard that you are an elder. He said, you know what? I said, there's no what. You go and resign as an elder. It's even better to be a pastor. To be pastoring. How much experience do you have to handle matters? It's not about age sometimes. But I'm talking about, okay, elders in the church will handle marriage matters. Pastor may not need to do, he will just send the elders to handle marriage matters. And this guy has at that time has not married. And you know, you just wonder. And then when they become elder and pastor, they now sit there. It's like they have got to the climax of ministry. It is far more than that. The heart of service is the issue God look at to relate with you if you can go further. A man whose heart is having ulterior motive to service of the Lord will be born, if he managed to get to heaven, will be born on the judgment of the Bema seat. And the judgment of the Bema seat, it is not a judgment unto condemnation. It is a judgment unto commendation. And our works will be tested by fire. And you can imagine, they put an input of your work. And if it's precious, the color will come out at the other end. But if it is grass and hay, you will wait endlessly in the other end. Nothing is coming out. It's bomb. See, I know in heaven, sir, I may be theologically looking somehow to you, but in heaven, there are levels. Jesus said, when Abraham died, and when Lazarus died, Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham. You said there is no level. Continue the way you are continuing. There are levels. He doesn't even have his own bosom. Because there was no service to the Lord. He didn't have the opportunity to serve the Lord. Our walk with the Lord, there are issues at stake. The matter of the heart is crucial. Number three. This morning I was reading my Bible. And I was reading the words of Jesus. For almost a chapter, he was talking about charity. You must do something that relates to affecting lives. For God to be impressed by you and not make noise about it. Noiseless service. That's what I call it. Noiseless service. Noiseless service. I mean service that are not noised. Noiseless service. You are serving the Lord and you are not making noise about it. Noiseless service. Noiseless service. When we walk with the Lord, God, see, the secret of service is serving God noiselessly. The secret of divine service, in the altar of God, you are serving the Lord noiselessly. One day, somebody was preaching. I was there, you know, I travel to preach in many churches. And he said, you people that come to this church, you don't take anything that to give to the Lord. He said, that thing can offend God. But I knew it wasn't correct. If the person does not have. But he said to them, the thing can annoy God, the thing can offend God. He just, there's a way he put it. And I look at the scripture. If you have money, how will you come to God's presence without giving God something? That's basic. But Peter and John, they were coming to God's the temple. But there was nothing in their pocket. Or you think they were lying? No, they weren't lying. They told him, silver and gold, I have none. That was their money that time. They take silver, they take coin, they take gold. I have none. We have none. Two of them didn't have anything in their pocket. I said they have been passing that place and they have been having, giving him something. But when God wants to change the destiny of a man, you know the whole of the story. That particular day, they were going to take the lead in the temple. And they themselves don't have. Because people will tell you now, one of my friends was preaching about 6-7 years ago. I ran from him for 3 years. He said, if you don't have money as a preacher, you are, it must be seen, or something like that. I put it in a book order and I said, hey, I said, I call, are you sure of this thing you have preached? He was trying to justify. You know, when you preach some things in the pulpit, you will try to justify it. And I said, Peter and John, they were going to the temple and they didn't have money. Even Jesus himself, at a point in his walk, they wanted to pay some money, they had none. He has to show them that he could provide money enough for them to be spending. And ask them to go to the mouth of a fish. Service to the Lord must be quiet but consistent. Think of it. I was coming and I saw some bad road. I said, can there not be a Christian organization? I said, God called me. My own calling is that to raise a team in every state to fill, you know, spots, potholes. That's the calling. So that we can reduce, because close to half of accidents are caused by pothole and overtaking. So you just say, when you have little money, the one you can do, you do. You don't even need to cover it, but that's a calling. Or you mean God cannot call somebody to do it? Social responsibility is a service to the Maker. I believe in social responsibility. How will you have a church? Big cathedral. One day I went to preach in the church of the people that have this camp. Or was it a training session for their workers? So, and I said, how will you have a church? I came to the back because the SP, I didn't know how the front side was. How will you have a church and the road that lead to the church is not graded, is not tied up, and this church is rich. I said, this is not the gospel. I was just preaching my own on missions, and then I didn't know that he touched their founding leader and said, we have been waiting for government too long. Next week we are grading. So I didn't know the other side, that Tatu to Reconciliation House was rough. So that next week we are grading these streets. How will you have a church in a place with borehole and the environment suffering from water? Working with God, issues at stake. Our service in the kingdom must be fed physically by people, spiritually. That's what we call holistic gospel. The gospel is both the ministry to the spirit, to the soul, and to the body. That's where the church in Nigeria got it wrong. So you see a church that has a borehole in them, and they are not using the borehole itself. It's simply underutilized. Another normal situation, an average borehole cannot dry. It will recharge again. That's why they call it borehole. And they cannot put an outlet outside. They say Tuesday, 5 to 7, fresh water, even if they don't want to be every day. This is not the life Jesus taught us. It is not the life. If we must walk with the Lord, our environment must feel our impact. They must see the light. It can't be hidden. We may not make noise about it, but it's not going to be hidden. Our light must shine. You mean Jesus fed 5,000 people? You know the problem. The people, they have finished the crusade. The crusade was over. Permit me to say they have shared the grace. So an average Nigerian leader will say, maybe they are going to their house to eat. And the Bible says Christ would not have had them to go empty stomach. So many translations, go and read it. And he didn't even have the resources to do it. But you know, he's God, so he knew that there would be solution from heaven. So he remade a request, and a boy is lunch. The mother felt that that meeting used to be long, and this boy loved Jesus so much, but he was glued to the teaching that he could not eat. And as they were finished hearing the grace, permit me, he wanted to think of starting to eat, and Jesus announced that, see, we are supposed to provide food for you. Anybody had anything there? And the small boy with his lunch bag came out, and they opened the lunch bag. It was two fish and five loaves, and they opened it, and Jesus fed the old people. The miracle is what you people target, but the heart is what I am looking at. The heart Jesus used. He didn't want to send them away hungry. Do you know the blessing in feeding the poor, even when you are not so rich? The church in Nigeria does not feed their poor. They don't feed their poor. They are less concerned about the poor. But don't see, you need to do something about the poor. Social action, very important. Very important. I was telling Brother Dave, you know, the bridge we did for the community. It was not that we had the money. We were raising the money. So I tried that. And now, when we finished constructing the bridge, because it's going to serve, it's a community something. And the people kept saying that, we thank God we gave the bridge to you to construct. We thank God we gave I'm not an engineer, but I believe in supporting myself. So that when you see me supporting myself, you can support me too. You understand? So I'm not an engineer. I just got an engineer to do the job. They gave me land. They didn't have money. I look for people who need land and who has money. So I bridge the gap between them. And then I finished the job. The one that was supposed to be my prophet, God spoke to me that one of them is going to be for the missionary in Senegal. One of the plots. After I finished. But my joy is that they came, the community people, the old people came and said, ah, thank God, because they saw the iron. The thing I wrote in book is what I did. I didn't lower it. And as long as they are passing that bridge, they are already calling it my bridge, self. As long as they are passing that bridge, as long as they are passing that bridge, they will be calling it, you know, they will be knowing that this one is consulted by this man. This one is consulted. Even though they paid me in their in land. But they said to me, they said they thought I did a book work. But they brought in, I didn't know that they brought in somebody at my back who cross-checked what I submitted. And the man said, he wants to know me. The surveyor was happy. Everybody was happy that it was what we wrote down that we're doing. Community transformation is part of the service to God. Listen to me. People around you must know. You are going to your house in the evening. You know a woman that lives in your house and you are driving a car. And you did as if you did not know her. One day, when I was living in the other house before we packed to this current one, you know, I saw one mama, I wanted to carry her. So, he said, hey, Pastor, so you know me? I said, yes. He said that there was a... No. I went to her house. I was sharing with her, and she said to me, the other day you saw me, and you did not carry me. You know what happened? I felt he doesn't like to enter. Because the first time I saw her, I parked by her to carry her. I said, no. So the next time I saw her, I didn't want to wait again. You understand? So I said, but the first time, he said, because that day she was not in a good mood. How will I know that you are not in a good mood? Just talk people. But you know what? One thing is that the thing we were discussing received attention because she noted that one time ago I waited to carry her. See, we may not please everybody. No, that's not what I'm saying. But you see, Jesus said, inasmuch as you didn't do it to the least of these my brethren, you have not done it to me. I was hungry. Feed the hunger. See, Last year, we had 7 bags of rice in the orphanage. And I said to the manager, we have 7 bags of rice. Can't we carry 4 or 4.5 and share to the widow in this estate? Things are difficult now. Very difficult. Even my family, it is not easy. So I told one of the widows that work with us to help us gather those widows. So he gathered those widows. They came to the orphanage. We gave them half bag of rice. Half bag of rice. And then my manager gave us indomie again. Gave us one of those things. It's not that the next 2 weeks, because our children will not eat one bag. 2 weeks. Too much for them to finish one bag of rice. 2 weeks. One gas cylinder, 12.5 ages, 9 days. So I used charcoal and put it out. But you know, Buhari economy. But what I said, we gave them a woman, a widow. I didn't know she was a widow. She bought plantain for me. And she told another person that the plantain, she didn't sell it on time. She couldn't sell it on time. The plantain was out. I told them that she should come back and collect some part of her money. December 2nd, I will be in October. We are ministering to 42 to 50 widows. 50 widows. We make provision for 50 widows. Giving them clothes, giving them rice. They bought the rice. 20 something bags. Giving them clothes, giving them. Because Jesus said, I was hungry. We don't look at that scripture. I am steering you up to do something. I was hungry. You didn't feed me. Working with Jesus or working with God, these are issues that are at stake. They are going to give them. When I saw what the family that is sponsoring the project, what they brought out to give them, I have to. There was one widow. I mean, there were two, but I didn't know how to contact the other. I was ministering to in that area. I have to say, please, can you include my own widow to be part of this one? Because this one, I can't afford it. You know, you can start ministry now. You don't need to wait for Jesus to pour oil on your head in the dream, and the land will be shaking in the dream. No. You have known Jesus, the next thing is discipleship and service. You continue, and discipleship is not ending. I'm still under discipleship. All of us are under discipleship. But service must start. This is a way to walk with God. In Christianity, the worship lives inside the worshiper and produce the fruit of the living. How can you see need and close your eyes against it? See, most of us who are ministers, we don't have, when we have budgets, but we don't have a steady income to say this budget will be financed. Even in people, some of us that have church, that run church and, you know, offering and not tithe and all those stuff. See, this thing is a work of faith. That's what I told manager. And I said, manager, the 7 bag of rice will finish. I tell you, in 3 months, 4 months, we begin to feel the impact of his finishing. I know what they eat. Many times I call Pastor Dave. When will you begin the service to Jesus? You sit in the class every day, or in a program, or in a bus with an unbeliever, and you know this is an unbeliever. He's telling people on phone, see, I am on my way to Zaria now. And it's with you in Ekare. It's with you in Akure. And you know this person is heading to it. And you cannot share the gospel with him. And you feel less concerned. You have so much tool that there are some you won't wear for 6 months. So much clothes that there are one you won't even touch in the next 5 months. And a particular brother is coming to church. Is one shoe, one shoe, one shoe, one shoe, one shoe, one shoe. Instead of you to be touched, we have a master who is always touched by the feelings of our infirmities, feelings of our weakness, feeling of our inability. But instead of saying, this man, that is you, you must be a wicked person. Jesus won't do it. And look at the CV that Brahma was telling about Paul. He didn't have time, he was watching. He said, as touching the law. This man was a disciple of Gamali, the best scholar in law in that generation. He learned under his feet. Brethren, your family member do not know Jesus, and you don't know the implication of it, that if anything happens, he's internally lost and you won't see him again. Your sister, me, I don't know how you will love a person and you will not share the gospel with the person. Any love outside the gospel, outside the love of gospel to flow from you to the other person, is a fake one. Because the true love is to think of the terrestrial and the celestial. Is to think of this part of the world and the world beyond. I told people that are arguing on Facebook on some of this secondary doctrine. I told them, I said, we will start arguing and arguing and arguing. and time is flying away. And you know, we have a powerful tool in our disposal. That thing called Facebook or Twitter. So powerful that Islam is not being propagated through it. It's a powerful platform. You know? Powerful platform. And yet, we ridicule ourselves on it. There is no one who is remembering that while you are celebrating a Christmas and you are eating all the chicken, there's somebody somewhere in the hospital whose leg is hung up. That there's somebody who didn't know that changing our phone from time to time and buying our phone and said, this phone, I don't like it again, I'm changing it, may not be in the best heart of God. Because if you understand the way resources of God can flow, you will not lavish it anyhow on frivolity. No. The way God designed this world is what was happening in the church. I am thinking somebody we understand things today and say, well, you know, I am just wondering. I was sharing with one of my pastor friends and said, I am thinking of a molded church where somebody who is poor will be attached to a family to look after, to take care of him until he has a job. I am looking for somebody who will say, what I want to do today is to invite people. You know, and that's why you see me following all these men. Dr. Michael, he shared an experience with me. He said he was in the sitting room, maybe he had trance. And then in that trance, he saw that he was eating with a leper. And as he got out of that trance, he said, Lord, leper? And God said, those people have powerful testimonies. And God said, I want you to be taking care of lepers. And he said, ah, God, getting close to them, eating with them can be contagious. And God said, I said, I want you to be taking care of lepers. While he was struggling with God, somebody knocked at the door. Go. And he just went to the door to open. Behold, a leper. Because things you don't know that is a service to God. That's the reason for doing it. We want to see how we can be useful to the Lord the more. So he invited him in. Because there was no food, he has to cook. And they ate together. And after they finished eating, the leper was shedding tears that no normal human being will ever do this. What make you abnormal? I felt that thing happen in Akure when he was in Akure. And he didn't say it, because he said, from then I started ministering to leper and bringing them together. And he said, God used me to heal leper than any other thing in the history of my ministry, by that singular action. And I think he was the one that started the leper colony, Agoiriti. We read of David Livingstone. I hope you read books that he was attending to. Doctors were dodging and wearing gloves and were dodging the parasite. He couldn't wear any gloves. He was carrying them. And they were amazing. This is supposed to be. And they observed it under microscope as the fluid from the dying person touches his skin. They were dying. Service. What you call. See, we must not major in minor. A minor in major. What we call service. It's a deep thing. Service to Jesus. Our service has not reached Keju. See, as God is talking to you, He's talking to me. That's one of the things that I'm. Our service has not reached what? Gage. Any service that have not denied your family of some good things in your bid to share with others is not a service. Any service that does not deny your comfort is not a service. See, everything we do, sir, in this world is recorded against us. You may not know the number of times you come to Akure, 60, 50 people. If you gather people in the north, you know how much. Ahead of you, 2003, when I was NCF president in Zamfara State. That's the first time I heard from you. From Paul, before Dave told me. Some things you do, you have forgotten you do it. And in the judgment of the Bema seat, the video will be played before the crown comes and the stars come. And tears will see, there will be tears of joy in heaven. Don't worry. Continue your silent labors. You know, it's so costly to think the pastor of a church will have the highest reward. The Bible didn't say so. The reward will be a function of the service from the heart. So one of the reasons why I'm not too excited at those who are won in the crusade, that's one of the reasons. Because all of us, we share the zoos. The man who comes here to prepare the ground and start praying before I come, and maybe they fasted more than myself. You mean when I now mean another? When I see some ministers, top ministers saying, "I have won 500,000 souls," I just shake my head. Heaven does not look like that. There is a way heaven looks. Heaven looks at people who labored. There's a man in the ministry of Renan Bonke. Before he came to do this crusade, that's all he used to do before. I don't know whether I came this time. He will come and stay like a monk praying on the land. He's not under the ministry of Renan Bonke. His own ministry. That's his own ministry. Anywhere he's going to do crusade, he will go ahead. They are not exchanging funds, though. So for you to think that you preach in a crusade, that's the way God deals with me and explains things to me. And now 20 people came out to give their life to Christ, and I had to go and write it down. I've won another 20. I don't even want to know the number of souls I want. I am not interested. I don't want CV. I don't want profile. I'm not applying for a job. So why do I need profile? Those who put speaker together, put these things together, that made me to speak freely. Those who carried my Bible. Why will God be so? We give only the profit to me. Heaven does not, the kingdom does not run that way. So if you have this understanding, even when you sweep the church, you sweep it with prophetic understanding that you are doing what? You are serving the Lord. One day, me and my wife, we went to clean the Adeshida Hall. So somebody met us. I said, no. We were not forced to come here. People will be having a meeting here tomorrow. We came to clean. When I was on campus, I was, you know, in technical units. So I'm not ashamed to carry it on my head. So I carried it on my head. You know, I schooled in Warri. So somebody walked up to say, bro, Christians now. You they fuck up now. My campus you did now. Sure.
You know, it's one of those very funny cities.
You know, that was in my ND days. But in my HND days, the same boy came for me to pray for him. I feel like reminding him of that fish. But where is forgiveness this time around?
Well, I didn't remind him. Because he came back for his HND.
You know, what are we saying? So whatever you are trying to do is a service to God. We are the one doing this thing. The pastor does not recognize us. You are finished. No reward. Reward sell. Let no man recognize me. I was speaking in a meeting yesterday night. I was talking to them about the invisible man in America, the invisible charity man. He doesn't want to be known, and he will just put it beside orphanages and the widow, you just drop the money. And then, so eventually they got him. He's one of the richest men in America. So, but he doesn't want, you understand, they got him. You know, America has a lot of sophisticated something. He was privately approached and he said he doesn't want the noise. There are people too heavy to pay. What is the price you are paying for the service of the master? Before we pray, I put it towards you. You mean we just walk this part of the earth without no without contribution to the kingdom of God and yet want to go and enjoy the kingdom? I don't know of a kingdom that a man does not contribute or that a man walk against and wants to enjoy. I've not known that kingdom. Do you know there are Lazarus that are lying at our gates? There are people, you are young people, there are people who have schools. They make millions and they pay their teacher 2,500, 3,000. They could have successfully paid the teachers 40,000, 50,000. But they will just be looking for one person who is good. They will write exam, stage 1, stage 2, stage 3. Only when they finish the exam, they are going to be paid 10,000. Their last, what was the offense of the rich man? That time they don't receive Jesus into their lives. So I hope you know. A certain man, it was a true life story, not a parable. What was his sin? The only sin is that he didn't take care of Lazarus at his gates. Do you have Lazarus at your gates? Do you feel the pulse of his wretchedness? I preach on it in one crusade, and this is the way I pictured it. The Bible says dog will be licking his wound, because when the crumb falls, he takes possession of the crumb, that the dog is angry. And since there is saw all over his body, the dog faced the saw. If you are taking the food, I will take the nutrient. And the rich man was, he has finished it, he says, shh, and he's going, and he will leave. And there are people making millions, and their staff, and the people who work with them are not taken care of. The staff will come and work with them. The same way they are when they came is the way they will leave them after 15 years. Then they will be useless to life. Ah! Then they will go to God and say they are paying tithe. Ah! The money that God accepts is the money that is clean. Listen to me. Are you a believer? You are going to the construction industry, and they give you money to tie a road, and you spend the money. You did less job, quack job, and somebody, there is pothole 3-4 years after, somebody is driving, and because of the pothole, he had accident, he died, and you said that was not a blood money because you didn't carry calabash. Excuse me, it's a blood money. The way the kingdom of God sits is different from the way we sit in. So we must act as a child of God. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works. And when they get to your good works, they don't take you to the glory, they glorify God for bringing you to humanity. Will you be the government of people? Will you be the answer to situations, answers to problems? And when you arrive and you did what you are supposed to do, the people say, "Whoa, we thank you for bringing this man in our generation." Bow down your heads as we pray. Rise up on your feet as we pray. And say, "Lord, where am I found wanting? In my walk with you, issues at stake. Issues at stake. What area has the Lord hooked you? What area? What area has the Lord hit you strongly? Can you talk to the Lord and say, "Lord, I am repenting. 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 I am repenting." Are you relating with people, and those who have money, you place them highly above those who don't have money? Yet it was not their making that they don't have money. You need to repent. You need to repent. You need to repent and say, "Father, I am guilty. I am guilty of all of this matter. I am guilty. I am guilty. I am guilty. I am guilty in all of this matter. I am guilty. I am guilty. I am guilty. I have not seen it this way before. Lord, I am repenting. Where will the bulk of your resources be going? You have a pastor over you for 5 years, 4 years. You have not bought a quality thing and say, Pastor, I want to bless you with this thing. Ah, and you keep saying my pastor is a hammer. Kaka.
For more life transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
Ask Him tonight to put a nation on your heart.